Okay, let us pray. Okay, Lord, we thank you, God, for bringing us together this morning. And Lord, thank you that we can come together early in the morning to consecrate our hearts, to focus on you, to worship you, and to be open and willing to receive your word. God, thank you so much for the grace that you've showered upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you've been blessing us with all the blessings in the heavenly places. How we have not yet fully come to realize it nor enjoy it, Lord. Father, we pray that you would continue to open your word, open our eyes by your Holy Spirit, that we may more fully comprehend and to more fully enjoy your gospel, your truth, and your presence in our lives. So thank you, God. Bless our worship, our proclamation of the word. Would you guide our time? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, please be seated. Let's see. Thanksgiving for this week for me is one freshman came to Jesus. Praise the Lord. While evangelizing with Grant, he must have been the blessing. Usually when I take young people out to evangelism, God leads people to Christ just for them. And Grant is not so young, but then he's gone out with me pretty much for the first time here in the Stateside. I think I did it together in China once or so. So he was a freshman guy, and surprised that he was willing to listen. We've been experimenting past couple of weeks. I was like really hesitant. All right, this is a coronavirus time. Would the people be willing to, you know, just talk? Given the distance with the mask, and sure enough, they were willing to listen. So our rejection and people willing to listen is roughly about the same as before. It doesn't seem like it's too different. And so normally we, in the table, a person sits on that side and sit on this side. If I stretch out my arm, I could show them the bridge, my normal bridge. And of course, you wanna feel the wind. Do you know that when you talk to people outside, you have to feel the wind? So what that means is if the person is standing there and the wind's coming towards my way, you don't wanna stand in the path of that wind, the breath coming your way. So you have to step aside and let the wind go the other direction. So that way, you know, share the win. So that's been working okay. Personally, I don't feel very, you know, threatened by the virus just outside. It seems very comfortable, and I think we could definitely, you know, continue to do it. So pray for us as the staff are mostly out there evangelizing. We're slowly increasing our hours out there. We kind of pretty much have gone through most of the online Zoom activity events, right? So we did what we can, and now the next thing is actually meeting people, full contact. So pray for us, and we're not really particular about we need to go recruit people or, you know, get people in our ministry. You know, we're not pressured by that. We just want to be faithful. Okay, we just want to go out and evangelize. I mean, plus, we can't do like 4, 5, 6 bridge a day like we used to. It's just, we don't have that many people. If we get one solid bridge a day, that's pretty good. You know, 2 bridge, oh my goodness, this is really good. So we're just thankful for opportunity to share the gospel. And just letting people hear is what we're excited about. If God chooses to bring people in, praise the Lord. But we just want to be faithful to God. You know, and even evangelizing is in response to his call, right? We just want to be obedient. So we're not trying to strive. Striving is doing something apart from God's will. But whatever God is calling us to do, we just want to be faithful. Okay, and while we are being faithful, let the Lord do what he wants. Okay, so just pray for us so that we'll be faithful. And yeah, God will protect us from the wind of the virus. bless us with the wind of the Holy Spirit. Oh, wow. That's pretty poetic. All right. So, past couple of Jehovah's kind of came across my path accidentally, right? But this one, also a while back, the guys put it on the prayer request, Jehovah Mekadeshkim. Hey, wait a minute, I didn't cover that yet. Even Elohim, I haven't covered it. But anyway, since that time, I started meditating on it. I think this would be a great, you know, focus on understanding how God is the one who sanctifies. So Mekadeshkim, I heard the real pronunciation. It goes Mekadeshkim. That's how you say it. Jehovah Mekadeshkim. And Mekadesh is another word, as same as this word. And it means the Lord who sanctifies. The Lord who sanctifies. It comes from Exodus 31, 13 through 17. In the context of God establishing the covenant with the Israelites to instruct them to keep the Sabbath day holy, the seventh day. God created the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested and said to the Israelites, likewise, you rest on the seventh day and keep it holy. Observe it. So it comes from, there's two exactly. First one comes out of Exodus 31, and it says, but as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbath, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies. So while he instructs Moses to instruct the Israelite to observe seventh day as my Sabbath, as a sign between the Israelite and God. So it says, so that we may know that Lord God is the one who makes us holy. Sanctify means to be made holy. Sanctification, to be made holy. To be set apart to be holy. So the Sunday observance, not Sunday observance, but seventh day observance of Sabbath, for the purpose so that the people will know that God is the one who makes them holy. Makes them holy. So God wants to reveal to us, it is not us who make ourselves holy. You know, it's too late. We are sinners, you know, with the original sin with Adam and Eve. Sin came in. We committed sin. We are full of sin. And in this context, the Israelites were, you know, fully into sin. And they're stubborn and they're sinning against God. But as a means of sanctifying them, to make them holy, he made sure that you work 6 days, but on the seventh day, you keep the seventh day holy to rest in God. Prescott. Some people translate Sabbath, which is Sabbath, as not rest, but as ceasing. So it's not really ceasing, I mean, resting. Yes, you could change a pace, physical rest, but it's actually ceasing from work to do something else. And anyway, I should move on because I'm going to talk about Sabbath. I don't want to say too much right now. But the point I wanted to make in this passage is somehow by appointing Sabbath, seventh day rest, God wanted to sanctify the Israelites, and he wanted to be known as a sanctifier. He wanted to use the seventh day rest to sanctify his people, and he wanted to be known as the sanctifier. But it's not only through Sabbath, but the other verse that has the sanctify in it is Leviticus 26:3. It says, as for a person who turns to medium and to spiritists to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against that person, and I will cut him off from among his people. So these are, he's talking about people who are given to evil spirits, you know, mediums, spiritists, those who channel, to play a harlot after them. So it's idol worshiping, other spirit. God said, I will set my face against them and cut them off from his people. You know, that's not what God made them for. But in verse 7, it says, you shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, to be holy, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my statutes and practice them, and I am the Lord who sanctifies. So this is the second place that the Lord reveals himself as Jehovah Mekadeshim. I'm the Lord who makes you holy. So in this case, he instructs them through the Sabbath. He sanctifies his people and reveals himself as the sanctifier. For in this case, he's addressing worship of foreign, you know, enemy spirit and foreign gods. Be separated from them. Being holy is to be set apart. Consecrate yourselves. Be holy. So this is something God instructs us to be sanctified. We need to consecrate our lives and dedicate our lives to be holy. Dedicate, because God is holy, it says in the New Testament. Be holy as I am holy. Consecrate yourself to be holy. So consecrate your lives to be holy, because I am the Lord God, and you shall keep my statutes and practice. So God gives his statutes, his word, his instruction, and he wants us to practice his work. This week I had our Friday Bible study do a meditation on James chapter 1. It says, be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. So God didn't give us his word just to hear his word, but be doers of the word. So God instructs the Israelites to keep my statutes and practice them. And so he does this and then says, I am the Lord who sanctifies. I give you this instruction and command so you would be sanctified. So I am a sanctifier to make my people holy, my people holy. So, you know, this character of God, God being a Mekadoshim, Mekadishka, is to declare God who will, whether through Sabbath or by his word, you know, he is the one who wants to cleanse us from our impurities, uncleanness. So we too, much like the Israelites in this world, we struggle with, you know, just sin and impurity. I think this afternoon we're going to talk about how we can be spirit-filled, live a spirit-filled, victorious life. But it just kind of turned out to be, hey, kind of jives. So God is the one who sanctifies, and here's the other promise we already talked about in Ezekiel. Okay, let's see. Conrad, you have the most clearest English. I was just kind of complimenting him, and when he gave a message the other day, he said, "You have such great English. His pronunciation is so white."
Thank you.
Well, actually, he got the same compliment from the VSET students. You know, Mr. Conrad has great English, but the other teachers, I'm not sure if that's real English. Oh, anyway, I'm just kind of boosting him up. Go ahead. Why don't you read the Ezekiel verse for us?
Thank you, Pastor Man. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God. Moreover, I will save you from all of your uncleanness.
Wow. This is the new covenant promise. You know, in the previous two verses, it does have Jehovah Mekodishkim, right? But this one does not have that. But actually, this is what Jehovah Mekodishkim does. According to this verse, and he says, even though the Israelites are obstinate and stubborn and they're idol worshipers, they're unclean, filthy, God is saying, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but it's for my holy name. I will vindicate the holiness of my name, which has been profaned among the nations. God's name has been profaned because of our uncleanness and idolatry and our sin of different kinds. But God said he's going to do it himself. He's going to do this. What is he going to do? Verse 25 says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Wow. Sprinkle clean water on you, and I will be clean. You know, the Jewish people have this cleansing ceremony. When they go into the room, they pour water, they clean their food, clean their hands. It's just kind of a custom of cleansing of impurity. So he is going to sprinkle clean water on us, and that he will make us clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness. I will cleanse you from all your idols. Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? God is going to do it. Why? For his name's sake. He's going to vindicate himself. So whatever filthiness or idolatry that we have kind of harbored through our lives, and even after becoming a Christian, we have not surrendered as of yet, God is the one, he's going to clean us himself. Moreover, I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So not only would he cleanse us from our filthiness and idolatry, he said he will give us a new heart. Whoa, how many want a new heart? It's like getting a overhaul, getting a new engine. You know, it's like my heart is influenced by all my life. I'm the way I am because of, I'm the product of what I've been exposed and what I've given myself to. My heart is my heart. And I like to think most all of our brothers and sisters has a good heart. Tell each other, the person next to you, you have a good heart. But not a perfect one. You have a good heart, but you know, our good heart has been tainted by the world. You know, all of us can definitely confess that our hearts are generally good. I mean, we like to think we're good, but there's definitely uncleanness, filthiness, idolatry. Even after we become Christian, God wants to cleanse us, forgive us, cleanse us. But he also wants to change our heart and help us to rid of this in our lives. He's the one who's doing it. He wants to do it. He's doing it. And so, of course, this is a promise of the new covenant through Jesus Christ. So through Jesus Christ, this is to be done. Cleanse us from all the guilt of sin. He wants to give us a new heart. The old has gone, the new has. And the heart is included. The old heart has gone, and the new heart has come. How do you want to do it? In verse 27 says, I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statute, and be careful to observe my ordinances. In previous verses, it says, consecrate yourself, be holy, and the Lord, I'm the Lord God. You shall keep my statutes and practice them. God commanded them to practice, but then they failed. But with the Holy Spirit, he's saying that the Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statute, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And you will live in the land that I give you to your forefather. So you will be my people. I will be your God. Moreover, I will save you from all your enemies. Goes on to say, you will make your fruit multiply, and just the abundance of blessing in your life as well. And this is something God has already prophesied in the Old Testament, Ezekiel, to be fulfilled when Christ came by his death and resurrection and by the Holy Spirit who comes in. This is to be done. He himself, by faith in Christ, faith that is, of course, genuine, faith through Christ, Holy Spirit is to come in, and it's his Spirit who wants to cleanse us. Actually, there's not too much we need to do except submit to the Spirit's will. You know? And the Lord wants to do the work of cleansing, sanctifying us, to make us from unholiness to holiness, one degree of holiness to the next degree of holiness to the next, one degree of glory to the next. You know that verse, right? It's not like all at once, but it's from one degree of glory to the next. God wants to sanctify us. But we need to let Jesus and the Holy Spirit in us do what he promised to do in Ezekiel. Okay, let me have let's have Jack. He doesn't have anything on his ear. Okay, let's have Jesse too. Okay, Jesse, because I need somebody to hold Jack's hand. Yeah, just come up right here. And Jack, you could be right in the middle. Jesse, you could stay there. Jesse is the Holy Spirit.
Whoa.
Jesse is the Holy Spirit, and Jack is a born-again Christian.
Yay.
You know, come on over this way. He is a new creation. Ooh. God gave him a new heart, you know, and, you know, his command is just a delight to his heart. But he still needs to be sanctified. Sanctified. This arm right here, his old nature still needs to be cleansed, you know? And this other arm is a new nature, you know, wants to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You can hold a hand with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit wants to lead Jack into the life of holiness and a life glorifying to God. Okay, not yet. But go ahead, keep your hands together. Now, you know, Jack still has free choice. He can't relinquish his free choice, right? Actually, you don't mystically say, I'm giving my life to God. I'm just surrendering my will. You know, it's not this mystical, like, surrenderness. Letting the feeling move me. You know, sometimes I was just talking about somebody. So past trainees of mine came to me and said, Pastor Min, when I'm evangelizing, I keep on hearing a voice, go left, go right, go left, go right. What should I do? I said, stop listening to that voice. You don't want to relinquish your free will to this voice. Your will is your will. If God says go left or right, yes, but you don't want to give yourself to this voice. It's not this like kind of mystical voice that you're following. So the Lord, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, nudges us towards holiness. You know if it's the Holy Spirit, if it's towards holiness. You know it's the Holy Spirit if it's according to the scripture. So, but here's Jack, you know, he received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to do everything in Ezekiel. He cleansed him, and he wants to give, he gave him a heart wanting to obey and go towards holiness, and the Holy Spirit is gently nudging him. He could feel it. He could feel it. He could feel it. But here's Satan right here. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Jack. Oh, that means I'm Satan. Hey, hey, hey. So if Jack asserts his will and say, I don't care about the Holy Spirit. I don't care about the word. You know, I'm just going to indulge my own nature. He turns to me. And he comes towards me. He can very easily resist the Spirit, quench the Spirit. Holy Spirit is very gentle, like a dove, you know? But the Holy Spirit is constantly granting direction to be sanctified. But if Jack knows this is evil, he rejects him and just lets the Holy Spirit lead him. Then he's going from holiness to the holiness to holiness. And who's sanctifying him?
Jesse.
God. By his Holy Spirit. Okay. Great. So God has given believers the Spirit of God in us to cleanse us from sin, but also lead us gently towards holiness. Lead us gently towards desire to obey the Word of God. But our free will is still present. Old nature of obstinance and rebellion and lust still, you know, kind of remain in the body, But we need to mortify that, right? Crucify that on the cross. If we feel that rebellion, resistance towards God, and gratification of lust arises, we have to say, you've been crucified, old Jack, or old men. We need to remember those things have been crucified with Christ. So we diligently need to crucify those old nature as Jesus crucified it. And we need to be led gently by the Holy Spirit. Led God through his Holy Spirit to sanctify us. And you know what? When you and you could call out to the name of Jesus, and he will save us for that. But also, when you pray, you know, use the name of God, Jehovah Mekadishkim. God, you are Mekadishkim. You sanctify me. So when you call out to God as Mekadishkim, you're saying, I believe you. You are sanctifying me. So why are we learning all his name? So you could pray with his name to say, I believe you are this. And when you do that, you're connecting with the Holy Spirit and allowing God to empower you. So call out to the name of Jehovah Mekadishkim, because he wants to do all this thing. He wants to sanctify. And gently lead us towards holiness. Well, but I did focus on Ezekiel, but then I really want to focus on the Sabbath passage. So God wants to sanctify his people through honoring the Sabbath. So what is the Sabbath? It means to rest. Shabbat, to rest, or some people translate this as ceasing. Ceasing from the 6 days of work to do, you know, something beside what you've been doing. So the Jewish people, they kind of held to Sabbath as physical rest. That means no working physically. You can't walk beyond certain distance. It was actually a wrong application of Sabbath. Sabbath is ceasing from the 6 days of work. But in the seventh day, you're no longer pursuing what you pursue 6 days, but you're pursuing you work for 6 days. What do you love? No, you love. I want to work a little more so I could have little more like crop. You know, if you're an engineer, you work for 6 days. What do you want? What do you love for 6 days? My vacation. Okay. Yeah. You know, if you're not really into engineering, I guess that's a good thing, you know. But there's people who are ambitious for engineering. Oh, I want to learn more skills. On Sunday, I'm going to learn more skills so I could be more, you know, equipped. If you're a fisherman, what do you love more? Fishing. Oh, if I work the seventh day, I could have a little more fish. If you're an investment banker, what do you love?
Money.
Money. Investment. So you work for six days, and what is the temptation? Oh, if I invest on the seventh day, I could make some more money. I could protect my money. So it's to cease from what you've been loving 6 days for your, it could be your livelihood. It could be something that you want. But on the seventh day, God doesn't want you to pursue that anymore. He wants you to stop and remember God. It's not so much physical rest. It's a spiritual rest of coming to God and loving God, realizing God is my portion, not my produce, not my money, not my, you know, abilities. It's God. God is my soul satisfaction. So actually, they also needed to, on Sabbath, on Sunday, there's no law against loving people, showing mercy, showing gratitude, help, you know. So when Jesus healed the sick, you know, they were criticizing, you're not keeping the Sabbath. But he said, If you if your sheep falls into a hole, would you rescue the sheep from potentially dying? So Jesus is saying Sabbath is not about physical limitation of rest. You should just stay at home and do nothing. It's not that. It's ceasing from 6 days of pursuit and focusing on God, resting and worshiping, resting from the 6 days, what you've been doing, and then focusing on God. And not only God, loving people as well. But the Jewish people got that off, and they started creating man-made, you know, guidelines, man-made guidelines. Well, let's look at what Sabbath is according to Exodus. We went through that. Exodus 31, how God wants to reveal himself is Joel of Mekadeshkim, the Lord who sanctifies. He wanted to use Sabbath as a means to sanctify. So what is the Sabbath that he's saying? In verse 13, he says, "You shall surely observe my Sabbath. So sons of Israel shall observe my Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout the generation." So this is a kind of a covenant that God made and a custom that he's established that God wanted the Jewish people to keep for the rest of their generations. It's something to be observed, something to be celebrated. So seventh day is something to be observed and to be celebrated. Secondly, it's a perpetual covenant. It's a perpetual covenant that God makes with the Israelites, but he also makes a perpetual covenant with his church to keep the Sabbath. We'll understand more clearly what the Sabbath is. So it's a perpetual covenant. This concept of Sabbath is, Sabbath rest is a perpetual covenant that we need to keep with God. For the 6 days of work may be done, but on the seventh day, there's a Sabbath of complete rest and holy to the Lord. So there's a complete rest. So we need to understand what this complete rest is. Is it more about physically not moving around? Or is there some kind of a rest in the spirit that, you know, God is talking about? So it's a complete rest that God wants, that we want. He wants us to observe and to celebrate all through the generation. It is a sign between me and you throughout generation. It's a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. So it's a sign that God is God. The Israelites are my people. So it's kind of like if you're an Israelite who worships Yahweh, Jehovah, they keep the seventh day Sabbath. And during the seventh day Sabbath, they worship God and they love their neighbors, which was supposed to stand out from the nations. What do the nations do? They kill babies. They worship God by offering their children. They worship God by worshiping Baal and Asherah, and they were sexually immoral when they're worshiping their God. You know, Jewish people don't do that. The Israelites, they are holy. They're separated from uncleanness and immorality. They're holy unto the Lord. They love their God by worshiping him with a pure heart. And they love their neighbor to demonstrate the love of God towards them that they would show to others. So this is and the fifth one, it says, "That you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." So through this Sabbath, God wanted the Israelites to know, and even the neighboring nations to know, their God, Jehovah, makes them more purer, holier, set apart from the neighboring nations. And it is only good, not immoral or corrupt, according to the neighboring nations. So by keeping this Sabbath, God wanted to purify his people, make them more holier, make them more holy. So that's the description of Sabbath in Exodus 31. But if you look at Isaiah 58:13, go ahead, Jeremy, you can read that one.
If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word.
It's like, it continues on. It's interesting. God was saying, at least one day, on the seventh day, you know, turn your foot from doing your own pleasure. You can do your pleasure for 6 days, but at least one day, cease from doing your own pleasure. And call this Sunday a delight. Oh, my goodness, Sunday is coming. Not Sunday, the seventh day is coming. Oh, I can't do what I want to do. I can't gratify what I want to gratify. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Israelites, you know, some of them did not keep the Sabbath holy. They didn't celebrate it. Why? Because they didn't want to lose one more day of gratifying their desire. Does that make sense? God was saying, okay, all right, granted, 6 days, go ahead and gratify your desires. But on the seventh day, decease from gratifying yourself. Decease, is that correct?
Decease is dying.
Oh, decease, okay. Okay, die from such deeds. Cease from such deeds. Cease from such deeds. And call Sabbath a delight. Now, if indeed you love God more than the 6 days of gratification, the seventh day is a delight. Right? But if you love the things you did for the 6 days, seventh day is not such a delight. It's a loss. Oh, I'm losing out. I'm losing out one day. I mean, this is a culture of losing out. Nobody wants to lose out, right? And I heard that why are they constantly on social media? Because they don't want to miss out, you know? We kind of gratify. And what? One day of no social media? I think we should maybe do this once in a while. Like, you know, on Sundays, we say, okay, let's fast from social media. And then you will know how much you like social media, right? So, but this actually was God's way of helping them to stop the addiction of 6 days and really learn how to love me on the seventh day. Because of Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy Sabbath day, holy day, and call my Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord, honorable, and honor and decease. Okay, here's a desisting.
Desist.
Oh, this, not desisting, or desist.
Yeah.
Desisting from your own ways and seeking your own pleasure. Speaking your own words. Oh my goodness. What does this have to do with like seventh day physical rest? There's nothing about physical rest right here. Right? It's more about stop doing your own pleasure. Desist from going your own way. Seeking your own pleasure. Speaking your own words. Even speaking your own words, that's not from God. Gossiping or saying things that's harmful, not loving. Isn't that interesting? That talking about Sabbath, he's talking about desisting from your own ways, seeking your own pleasure, speaking your own words. Stop that. Stop doing that. On this day, honor me. You know, highly, highly value this day. Let's look at Isaiah 58:14. It's not in there. I got to give you a chance to look through the Bible. I've been spoiling you guys by giving you all the verses. You know, you don't have to flip verses here. Okay, go ahead and read verse 14. Ready? Yes, I go.
And you will find your glory in the Lord, and I will make you ride to rise high to the land, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
So, if you keep the Sabbath in the way God purposed it, holy and honorable to God, here's the blessing. Then you will take delight in the Lord. You will, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. Do you believe if you put priority in worshiping God and loving God and obeying God, even if you lose that one day, do you believe that God could set you on high to ride? It says here, make you ride on the heights of the earth. Do you believe if you seek God first, God could set you up with promotions and even increase in your personal life? This is a pretty good promise. Those who seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first, all these things will be added unto him, is this passage right here. This is an Old Testament passage of Matthew 6:33. He will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with heritage of Jacob, your father. Mouth of the Lord has spoken. When he speaks, it doesn't turn back. But you know what? The whole chapter 58 is talking about true fasting. Even fasting is similar to Sabbath. You're holding back what you love. So we need to learn to do some Sabbath. Fasting. I just did a fasting this week. You know, kind of a health fast, but it's a fast. So fasting is holding back what you love, the food you love, to focus on God. Sabbath, seventh day, is holding back what you've been doing, sixth day, just to focus on God. And the focus on God, Sabbath, even the Sabbath, fasting that God loves, it's not just even holding back food. It says here, while you're holding back food, make sure you obey. The whole passage is about obedience. If you obey, 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 you know, your healing will come quickly even. It's interesting how healing comes from obedience. When you obey, God will bring healing. There's a lot of good promises in Isaiah 58. You should meditate on it. But it ends with keeping Sabbath. This is another obedience that God is calling them to. Desist from your own way. Seek your own pleasure. Desist from seeking your own pleasure. Desist from speaking your own word. Keep the Sabbath honorable. Obey. Obedience is actually what God is seeking on Sabbath. So that not only on Sabbath, the rest of the week you will be obedient. He wants to really, the way he is sanctifying his people in Old Testament time is, he wanted to help them to keep at least one day holy. So through the obedient life and worship on that one day, it'll bleed into the rest of the week. Through that Sabbath holding, helping them to keep the Sabbath holy, God wanted to sanctify his people for the whole 7 days. So if that's the Sabbath according to the Old Testament, what is the Sabbath in the New Testament? It's more Sabbath rest, less of a physical rest, but it's a spiritual rest. In the New Testament, Christians don't talk about keeping the Sabbath, the seventh day holy. we talk about Sabbath rest in Christ. So Sabbath rest in Christ is, in essence, what the Old Testament Sabbath is about. The rest that God wanted for Israelite in the Old Testament, it says, so they would be spiritually rested in God, worshiping God, obeying God on the seventh day, so that they would be spiritually at rest with God. How many of you, when you're not doing well with God, you're spiritually not doing well? How many of you can say, I sleep well and I'm well rested? When you're not doing well with God. Well, if you can get good sleep and you're fine, then there's a problem. If you're a born again Christian and you know you're not doing well spiritually and you're, you know, disobeying God and you're engulfed in immorality or whatever, and then if that's okay, then you're really not in good condition. Possibly not even saved if you're okay with that. And you will not be at rest. If you're disobeying God, and your soul will not be at rest. There's no Sabbath for a relationship with God that's not going well. Only place we can find, you know, deep rest and satisfaction is when we're in fellowship with God. So in the New Testament, the Sabbath is more about being in Christ. So Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, it says in Matthew 12:8, Mark 2:28, Luke 6:5. It also describes Jesus as, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. For the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. And so this is a context where I share already when Jesus does the healing. He does it many times. And the Pharisees comes along and criticize. Why are you healing a blind man on Sunday? Not Sunday, but seventh day Sabbath. Why are you healing? And that's when Jesus said, what? If your sheep falls into the hole, aren't you willing to save them? Surely healing a person on Sabbath is a fitting thing to do. For the Son of Man, Jesus, is the Lord of the Sabbath. Him saying the Lord of the Sabbath is, he's the object of worship. For the Sabbath, he is the object of worship. So Jesus is also the person that we need to worship, because he's the Word of God, God. But he's also the giver of Sabbath. He's the giver of Sabbath, and Sabbath is similar to shalom, peace. And peace is in the spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Jesus wants peace in the spirit, soul, and body. He wants Sabbath in the spirit, soul, and body. So when Jesus came to establish a kingdom on earth, more of his kingdom is expanded. People's spirit is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you know, by Christ. But even the physical ailments were healed. He is supposed to do the healing on Sabbath. Sabbath is about peace of the spirit, soul, and body. Sabbath is in our spirit, soul, and body, the rest we can have. So Jesus is saying, this is what you're supposed to be doing, is worshiping God and helping people, loving people. So when we think about Sabbath, oh, I could use the rest. I could use the physical rest. I mean, definitely we need some physical rest when you work really hard. I tell our staff, work hard and I give you rest. and sometimes I just kind of, you know, if I think they overworked or worked hard, I give them a day off. We even have picnics. So But if they take a break already, I'm not sure if we're gonna give them the off. So, but when you work hard, yeah, you need some rest, so you can go on, right? That's the physical rest. But physical rest, when you sleep, you know, it's resolved when you sleep a little bit. But you know what? Sleep cannot resolve is a spiritual and emotional problem. When you have a spiritual and emotional struggle inside, and you're not at peace with God and with other people, you cannot be emotionally and spiritually rested. So we need to be in Christ. You know, we need to be right with God and right with people. So when Jesus said he's the Lord of the Sabbath, he is the object of worship, but he is also the Lord of the Sabbath who brings the healing to our spirit, soul, and body. So Jesus is the object and the person who from whom we could acquire that Sabbath rest. Well, here's more literally mentioned in Matthew 11, 28, 30. Okay. All right. Jack, what's your verse?
Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
So Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Therefore, we need to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus to find our Sabbath rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. This is the Sabbath rest. The essence of the Old Testament Sabbath rest is what we can find in Jesus Christ. And he also says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. The yoke, you know, is related also to, it could mean other things, but first and foremost is related to carrying the burden of the law. Old Testament law. They try to be right with God by keeping all the law, and keeping all the law is so burdensome. It's really burdensome. And Jesus is saying, come to me. You know, my yoke is not about keeping the law. It's about grace. You accept me and my work on the cross, and your sins are forgiven. You're considered already have completed the law because of what Jesus did. Your sins are forgiven, and you've already completed everything in the law through Jesus Christ. And so you really don't have a yoke. You don't have to carry the yoke of slavery in sin and also the law. So he says, learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. Gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So there's some things to meditate here, to personalize. I want to invite you to meditate and personalize, because what does it mean to come to Jesus? What does it mean to kind of lay off our burdens and take on Jesus's yoke? What does it mean to learn from him, his gentleness and humility? You think maybe gentleness and humility is what's required to enjoy the Ezekiel blessings? His cleansing, him giving us a new heart, not trying to aggressively strive and pridefully trying to get things in life, but being humble and gentle. God, you are my greatest bliss. First of all, you are my greatest portion. I desire nothing on earth besides you. But God, if you have something you want me to do, you guide me. I want to be humble. and not strive. Somehow when we come to God and be satisfied as our with Him as our portion, then there's no desires that I need to try to get for myself. And more I try to get because I'm not satisfied, more burden I'm carrying. More I'm not resting. So there's a kind of a rest and freedom of surrender. Surrendering my life to God, letting Him be the Lord of my life, let Him be the one who directs my life, and just humbly following His way. There's a restedness in there. So the whole discipleship, our relationship with Christ, our life of obedience is all related to Sabbath rest. And how do you enter that? Okay, Jesse, read the next one. By the way, this is my last point. Yeah.
Being at peace and enjoying a reconciled relationship with God and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven.
Very good. Sorry, I was blocking the way. So, if Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and coming to Jesus is to find the Sabbath rest, how do you enter into this, enter to be in Christ is, you know, enjoying the reconciled relationship with God, to be at peace with God. Before you are a Christian, you are in enmity with God. His wrath falls on you, and we're not at peace. We cannot be in Sabbath if we're not in Christ. If we're not a believer yet, we're still separated from God, living a life pretty much on our own. And it's not to condemn people for that, but that's just the reality of the condition people are separated from God. But God doesn't want people to be separated, to remain condemned, but through accepting the blood of His cross, accepting the blood He shed, that we would be redeemed and reconciled. Our relationship with God will no longer be separate, but united. To come into a unity of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ is the true Sabbath. So let's read 1 Corinthians 17, 5:17, we memorized that. We know 1 Corinthians,
2 Corinthians.
Oh, is this? I left the two out. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You should have known that, right? Okay, so, oh, it's changed? Oh, you did, you put it in there. I didn't put it in there. Okay, 2 Corinthians 17 and 18, let's read that together. Okay, we gotta read the scripture together at least once today. Ready, get set, go.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, just like the Old Testament Ezekiel, right? Old things have passed away, the new has come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, gave us a ministry of reconciliation. So having found the Sabbath rest in Christ, then we can even be used for the ministry of reconciliation. So there's some a calling after having received the Sabbath rest. But in order to enjoy the Sabbath rest, we need to be reconciled with God through the blood of Christ, through Jesus Christ. To be in Christ is to be in true Sabbath rest. Amen? Okay, that is it. Actually, that's half of the message. The next part is Sabbath rest in the book of Hebrews. It really clarifies in the book of Hebrews what the Sabbath rest is. And then after that, Jesus Christ is Jehovah Mekodesh. And how we can enjoy him. Amen? That would be the next week's message. And it would definitely not be more than an hour. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word and your presence. Even as I spoke and as people heard your message, your word, thank you for being involved in our lives. Your Holy Spirit in us is giving us a new heart, cleansing our hearts, giving us desire to obey your statutes and your commands. You are, Lord, already doing the work of sanctifying, making us holy, nudging us towards one degree of holiness to the next. And Lord, you do give us not only the heart, but the strength to be able to follow you. So Lord, help us to put to death our old nature. Allow our old nature to remain crucified on the cross, that we would live for the new nature as a new creation for the glory of God, for the life of holiness and righteousness to your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.